Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
And we will go ahead and read verse. We'll just read the whole story and then I'll preach through it. So Luke 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So to seek and to save. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here in your house this evening. I do pray that you will forgive us for our sins, fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to study your word tonight, help us to worship you and honor you. We pray that you would bless us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. To seek and to save. This is the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who got saved. And when tax collectors get saved, then you know you've had real salvation. There's been a revival. So what we see in verse 1 of Luke 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, Jericho was a city. You see there on the map the large arrow pointing towards Jericho. It was kind of above the Dead Sea, above Jerusalem. And the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says that Jericho was the place of rendezvous for Galilean pilgrims desiring to avoid Samaria, both in going to and in departing from Jerusalem. And it has been visited at all times by thousands of pilgrims who go down from Jerusalem to bathe in the Jordan. So Jericho was a major place for pilgrims that were heading towards the Jordan River to stop. And so Jesus stopped there. I believe there are two miracles that Jesus performed in the Bible that are recorded as taking place at Jericho. But Jesus is passing through. The Bible says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, the publicans were tax collectors, and Zacchaeus was rich, and probably he had made himself rich by being dishonest and by cheating people. I have a quote here from the Life Application Study Bible, and it says, to finance their great world empire, the Romans levied heavy taxes on all nations under their control. The Jews opposed these taxes because they supported a secular government and its pagan gods, but they were still forced to pay. Tax collectors were among the most unpopular people in Israel. Jews by birth, they chose to work for Rome and were considered traitors. Besides, it was common knowledge that tax collectors were making themselves rich by gouging their fellow Jews. No wonder the people muttered when Jesus went home with the tax collector Zacchaeus. But despite the fact that Zacchaeus was both a cheater and a turncoat, Jesus loved him, and in response, this tax collector was converted. So Zacchaeus would have been despised by these Jews, as we can see, because he worked for the Roman government and because he cheated them out of money. Now, verse 3 of Luke 19 says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." So we all know from when we were children that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. So Zacchaeus was short, and he could not see. Perhaps if he'd been tall, he never would have climbed up in the sycamore tree. We wouldn't have this story. So the fact is, he was short, and he climbed up in the tree, and he was able to see Jesus, and Jesus called to him. There was such a big crowd of people there. Luke 19:4, "And he ran before." So he goes before the crowd and before Jesus and climbs up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So this is a picture of a 1,000-year-old sycamore tree in Israel. And you can see that that would have been fairly easy to climb if he was good at climbing. He could have climbed up, and it has big branches and could have supported him. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now think about how amazing this was. Here is a man who is a Jew who works for the evil Roman government, the oppressors, and he cheats people out of money. And here comes, someone who perhaps he thinks is a great prophet, but certainly a great Jewish leader. Jesus Christ comes by, and all the Jews condemn Zacchaeus. But Jesus looks up and says, "Make haste and come down, for I'm going to stay at your house." That's amazing grace, right? And it would have been quite a thing. And we talked this morning about how God must turn people if they're going to be turned, when we talked about the conversion of a sinner. And we quoted from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, "Turn me and I shall be turned." And we talked about all that. And surely when Jesus said this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus is his heart is melted by Jesus Christ. Luke 19:6, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Romans 2:4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It's God's goodness that causes people to repent, that leads people to repent. A lot of times we think that people repent because of preaching on hell and all those kind of things, and that kind of preaching is important. In fact, I'll do at least one message on hell during this series. But the fact is that it's God's goodness that leads people to repentance. And Jesus, when he said, "Come on down, I want to go to your house," I mean, that certainly was God's goodness and mercy to Zacchaeus. Luke 19:7, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner." What a terrible thing. And who is they? Well, they was the crowd, but they exist everywhere in every age. They are the people that complain about everything. Somebody brought up this morning, I think it was Jeff, that brought up that some people had complained because we didn't have church. This was years ago, but they complained because his church didn't have church. If there was a holiday, they didn't have Sunday night service, and they said that that was not right, that we ought to have Sunday night service, and and all this kind of stuff. There's always they will always complain. And so that's what happened. When they saw it, they all murmured. They all complained, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. What a terrible, terrible thing that Jesus Christ would go to be a guest of a man that was a sinner. Spurgeon said, if he had not done so, he could not have gone anywhere. For all men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this man was a sinner above others, for he had sold himself to the hated Roman power and was authorized to collect the conqueror's taxes from his own people. So, of course, in the estimation of the Jews, he was the worst kind of sinner that could be found anywhere. And so, Jesus has gone to be a guest of sinners. Again, quoting from the Life Application Study Bible notes, in every society, certain groups of people are considered untouchable because of their political views, their immoral behavior, or their lifestyles. We should not give in to social pressure to avoid these people. Jesus loved them, and they need to hear his good news. Luke 19:8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, we know that Nicodemus had been saved at this point. He's been regenerated. He obviously recognizes who Jesus is. He says unto the Lord, behold, Lord. He recognizes that Jesus is deity, that he's God, that he's the Lord. The half of my goods I give to the poor. That's a lot of stuff. He's taken half of his stuff and give it to the poor. He's repenting here. And that is a fruit of regeneration or salvation. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profits me nothing. So the fact is, if Nicodemus hadn't been doing this out of a motive of love and gratitude to God, then giving half his goods would have not counted for anything. Because 1 Corinthians says, if I give all my goods to feed the poor and I have not love, it profits me nothing. So we know that Nicodemus was sincere in this. We know because of what Jesus said in the next verse. British Baptist pastor and evangelist F.B. Mayer said this, his dishonest acquisitions added to his wealth, but subtracted from his peace of mind. He knew that the least he could do would be to repay those whom he had robbed. But his soul required more and longed for salvation, such as only Jesus Christ could give. And Luke 19:9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Of course, Zacchaeus was Jewish, and he was a son of Abraham, and Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Even though Zacchaeus had betrayed his country and his people, and even though he had stolen, salvation had come to the house. He had received Jesus, we saw earlier. And surely that doesn't just mean that he received him into his house, but it means he also received him as his Savior. He received Jesus. And the fruits of his salvation were that he repented, and his repentance was carried out by works. He was going to restore fourfold what he had taken. He was going to give half his goods to feed the poor, and Jesus accepted those works. They were not done out of bad motives, but done out of good motives, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13. And Jesus accepted those works because Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. So Jesus authenticated his salvation for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. And the last verse in Luke 19 that we'll look at, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save the lost. That's his purpose. That's why he came. And that's the purpose of the church, too. Now, we can't save people. We can direct them towards Jesus who saves. Every once in a while, somebody will say to a preacher, hey, you saved me several years ago. That's happened to several different preachers. And there's a joke associated with that, but I can't remember the punchline, so we'll just move on. But at any rate, it was a good joke, too. But at any rate, I'll think of it a little later. I believe it was Billy Sunday. It may have been Billy Sunday. It may have been John Rice. But at any rate, somebody came up to him and said, hey, preacher, it may have been Moody. I don't know who it was. Doesn't matter. Anyway, somebody came up to him. This is true. They came up to him after he preached and said, hey, preacher, you saved me several years ago. And he said, well, you look like some of my work. The guy was drunk. He was drunk and he came up, said, you saved me. He said, you look like some of my work. But at any rate, we have the gospel and we lead people to Jesus who saves. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But this is the duty of the church. We are to seek sinners. That's the first thing. We're to seek sinners. Sinners will not come to us, by and large. If we sit here in the church, by and large, sinners will not come to us. It's just not going to happen. Even churches which are growing by leaps and bounds, most of the people coming to those churches are transfer from other churches. You take a church like Rockbridge in town, the majority of people that go to Rockbridge are transfers out of other churches that have gone to Rockbridge. And that's the same for most large churches. We have to go out and seek people if we're going to see people get saved and grow the church through evangelism. And so we are to seek sinners. And so that means going door to door. That means having outreach events like we have. And possibly I've seen in the drawer in my office in there where in the past the church, when they would have festivals and things, would sign up kids. And then I assume they use that as a way to follow up with them. And that may be something we want to try in the future, but we're going to have to seek sinners just like Jesus did. Well, you know, when Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit down. And the book of Acts is really the continuing acts of Jesus Christ through the church, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us and he works through the church. And the church is the body of Christ on earth, and the church is carrying out the works of Jesus Christ. So what Jesus did, Jesus went and sought sinners. We must seek sinners. And that's what we're going to have to do. And some people are uncomfortable with that. And I would say you don't have to do anything you're uncomfortable with, but the truth is you won't do anything you're uncomfortable with. This is volunteer. Nobody's going to do anything they're uncomfortable with. But I'll tell you that everybody can take part in witnessing in some way. Everybody can share their testimony. If you can't do that, you can hand out a tract. Up in Hammond, Indiana, there was a lady that was too scared to share her testimony at First Baptist Church. And so she would stand by the bus stop. At that time, they had a lot of buses going through. And she would stand by the bus stop with gospel tracts, and she wouldn't say a thing. She would just hand out tracts. But there's some way, if you can't speak, you can hand out a tract. If you can't hand out a tract, you can leave a tract on a grocery store shelf or leave one somewhere. leave it on a counter. But we can all find ways to witness. I saw where somebody, I assume it was Miss Shirley, put one of our gospel tracts, blew it up, and put it on the sign out there. Thank you for doing that. That's a good way to witness. People stop by in our parking lot all the time. Just park their cars there so they can see the gospel. We have to get the gospel out. We are to seek sinners. They will not come to us. We must go to them. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the second thing, we are to lead sinners to Jesus Christ and He'll save them. It's real simple. We can't save people, but we can lead them to Jesus and He will save them. So to seek and to save. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we need to go to people that society will not touch, like Jesus went to Nicodemus. By the way, notice what Jesus did with Nicodemus. Nicodemus got up in a tree to see Jesus. But Jesus, as he passed by, Jesus sought Nicodemus. Or not Nicodemus, Zacchaeus. Thank you. Saw John shaking his head. I was thinking, what am I saying wrong? And then it hit me. Not Nicodemus. Jesus sought Nicodemus too. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him how to be born again. But the truth of the matter is that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was up in that tree, and Jesus could have just passed by. This is what we do today. This is what a church would do today. We just pass by in a little parade and say, well, I hope he sees our church name and comes follow us. Everybody's there with Jesus. He'll hear the name of Jesus and get down from the tree and start following Jesus and find out about Jesus. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm going to stay at your house. And so Jesus sought sinners. And anybody that gets saved, whether it's Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, or Stephen or April or anybody else, or Miss Virginia, anybody that gets saved today got saved because God sought them first. You say, how do you know that? I know that because the book of Romans in chapter 3 says there is none that seeks after God. So if nobody seeks after God, then I know that God must seek them first. The only reason you, if you say, well, I sought God, the only reason you sought God is because He sought you first. We must seek sinners, and then we're to lead sinners to Jesus Christ so that He can save them. Lead them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. He'll save them. He'll save them. You can think of the person that has the most problems of any person that you know of, and you bring them to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of it. There's nobody that's too hard for Jesus. Nobody. You say, well, what if they're gay? What if they're a homosexual? It's not too hard for Jesus. Not too hard for Jesus. Get them to Jesus. What if they, what if they're just an awful person? Get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. What if they're into some weird doctrinal stuff? What if they believe crazy stuff? Get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. He can fix it. He'll take care of it. That's the nice thing about it. Just like we said this morning, the gospel's really simple. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The gospel's simple. We preach that. What Jesus does is complex. A person gets saved, there's all kinds of things that goes on. There's conversion, there's regeneration, there's justification, there's saving faith, there's saving repentance, both of which are gifts of God. But all those things happen. We just have to preach the gospel and bring people to Jesus, and He'll take care of the rest. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the Bible says. But we don't have to make people into new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We just have to get them to Jesus. They believe into Him and they get saved. So we are to seek and to save. So our prayer for our church in these upcoming months, I know it's winter and it's cold, and Johnny wanted me to get these door hangers so that he and I could go door to door. He wanted to walk up and down this road. I don't want to walk up and down this road because I think we'll get run over by a car. I'm going to go to some subdivisions where the houses are close together. But it's going to be cold. But at any rate, we're going to seek. And when it gets warmer weather, hopefully some of you can get in on that. But we're going to seek and we're going to get them to Jesus who will save. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this house. I do pray that we could seek sinners. I do pray that we would hand out gospel tracts. I pray that we would witness, that we would share our testimonies, that we would invite people to church, and more importantly, invite them to Christ. And I pray that we would each take our responsibility to evangelize, and that you would just put that upon our hearts, burn it into our hearts, the need to share this gospel that you have saved us with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.